do earnestly ask for your prayers. I have a very heavy burden that the Lord has been dealing with me for a little bit, and been praying a lot about today, and the Lord put a burden on my heart to pray as a challenge to each one of us. I'm going to write something on the board. I've written on the board, who, what, has my heart? I ask that you pray for me. I feel this very keenly. I have a heavy burden for us as a people, as a body, as a congregation. I say for those who we fellowship with and God's body as a whole throughout the world, those that we'll probably never meet. I have a heavy burden that souls everywhere will be able to take this question and honestly ask themselves, who or what has my heart? Recently, the Lord's been really working with me on some of these items. And I would say that if you answer quickly, you would say, well, the Lord has my heart. And that would have been my answer too. But I can tell you that He didn't have my whole heart. And there's still spots that the Lord is revealing to me day after day of here's another place that you haven't given to me yet. And so my quick answer is, oh, well, the Lord has my heart. But then stop and think about it a little bit. And that's what I'm hoping tonight is what we can do, is maybe pause and think, does he really have your heart? Does he have your whole heart? I think of the account in Matthew, well, I think maybe all the Gospels, but John maybe cover it in different versions of it, different viewpoints of it. But the story of the rich young ruler, he came to Jesus, and you know, he had what seemed like good intentions. He came to the Lord, and maybe he did have good intentions. I don't know. It doesn't seem like he was trying to trap the Lord. I think he came to the Lord pretty confident that the Lord had his heart. I think he was pretty confident in this because he asked the Lord. He said, hey, what does it take for me to have eternal life? And so Jesus gave him a list. He said, well, you don't covet. Or I don't remember. I'm just going... You don't commit adultery, you don't kill, you don't steal. One thing I noticed about the list that the Lord gave him, it was mostly the moral wrongs that are laid out in the Ten Commandments, in the law, that by and large, humanity as a whole, humanity who has a, has any, people who don't even claim salvation, in general, recognize those things are not moral, the list that Jesus gave him. So he told him, he said, hey, you don't kill, don't steal, don't covet, all those things. Those are the things, you do that. And the young man said, well, Lord, great, I've been doing that from my youth up. And Jesus followed it up with something. He said, okay, then all the stuff that defines who you are, you're a rich young man, right? I'm paraphrasing, obviously. And I'm not trying to add to scripture, but we got to remember that these are real people. This is a real conversation. And I'm sure that y'all have noticed that when you try to send somebody a text, a lot gets lost in the emotion. So I sometimes try to think about what was the emotion like there when Jesus was dealing with these people, because we see red and black letters here. But remember that these are real conversations that happened. And I kind of, in my mind, see Jesus thinking, okay, so you're rich. I know what part of your heart you haven't given yet. Maybe you haven't stolen. Maybe you haven't killed anyone. Maybe you haven't taken another man's wife. Maybe you haven't done any of those things, and that's great. That's amazing. I'm happy for you. But now, there's something more than the list. There's something more than that nice stone tablet list of things. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Jesus told him, this is part of the New Testament dispensation. There's more to it now. This is what you need to do. You need to go take all of that stuff that's precious to you, sell it, and give it away. Just give it away. And then he said something else. He said, and follow me. You do that, and you'll have eternal life. And I'm just going to tell you, recently, I was at major risk of being that rich young ruler, to be honest. You know, if we, and I think if we're honest with ourselves, we've all been in that place where we can think of a time or a place where the Lord put his finger on something and said, you're praying, asking for a deeper walk. I want you to get rid of that. I want you to sell that. I want you to put it aside. I want you to get rid of it and sell the proceeds. Give the proceeds away. And when I say at risk, what I mean is if I don't listen to that and I don't respond, and I'm going to tell you, the Lord has had to tell me more than once to sell the same thing. And I'm like, well, I think I mentioned it last Sunday. Part of the discussion was, trying to justify ways to, well, okay, I'll give it up this way, but what I'll do instead, Lord, so I don't think I have to give it all the way up to do what you're asking me to do. I think what I can do is I'll give it up this way, and then, so hear me out, Lord, this is now what I can do is I can use it to help other people, or I can use it to do this, because, you know, I don't think I need to actually give it all the way up, so Lord, I don't think you're actually telling me. Which, what does that sound like? It sounds like the serpent in the garden. It said, did God really say? Did God really tell you to do that? Or was it actually, did he actually mean that he didn't really want you to do it, but if you do, you know, he doesn't want you to understand? No, God said, don't do it. He's, and I'm giving you a specific example for me. He said, I want that. I want you to let it go. And my human nature was, just like the Israelites, it's easy to read the story of the Israelites and just think, how could they be so ridiculous to think that they could put some of those Canaanites to tribute and think that they are going to, you know, that's not at all what the Lord told them to do. He told them to drive them out. He told them to kill them all and to drive them out. But there was, I don't remember which tribe it was, I think it might have been the tribe of Dan, that was never able, they had to live up in the mountains. I don't remember, it might not have been the tribe of Dan, but one of the tribes had to live up in the mountains because they couldn't access their ports because they had not done what God told them to do. They had thought they could put them to tribute and have them pay taxes, and oh, well, no, we don't have to drive them out because now they're going to pay us taxes and we'll be more prosperous. But what did God promise them? He promised them their cattle would never ceased to increase, their crops would be watered, the land was cared for by God. He said, this is the land that I've cared for. If you, everywhere you step is going to be yours as long as you follow me. He told them to drive them all out and it'll all be yours. He didn't say, look, drive them out, but if you want to, you can keep these people and they'll pay dividends and then you'll be stronger and then, you know, then you can put your foot on them and that's not how it worked. The Israelites struggled and struggled and struggled because they failed to give up, to put out what the Lord has put his finger on. And the account of the ruler, the young man that came to Jesus, the end of that story is that he went away sorrowful because he couldn't come to grips with the fact that Jesus actually wanted him to give that up. He couldn't come to grips with that his salvation, his eternal well-being was worth more than all those precious things he was holding on to. And in that account, it's talking about literal riches. If that's the case for you, then maybe that's it for you. But it wasn't for me. It wasn't the Lord saying, hey, go sell everything. And it's different for each one of us. It may be the same. It may be different. It may be, what stood out to me is it was, Jesus gave him a list of obvious sins. Don't do these things. And he said, oh, I don't do that. And he said, okay, good. I kind of look at that obviously, there's these obvious sins we don't do. And we're not going to, and there's personal standards and all those things mixed into all that. But then there's some things like what I'm talking about here where the Lord puts his finger on something for me. What he's asked me to do, there's no way I could tell any one of you, hey, you need to do that. Now, maybe it's a good idea. I don't know. But what he's asked of me doesn't mean that then I have to say, all right, well, since he asked me, all of you have to do this too. It was a personal thing. And I've heard more than one person has told me these kind of things. I've heard testimonies of it. I've heard different people given their testimony, their exhortation of how the Lord placed something on their heart to say, hey, would you stop doing that for me? And it may be something as simple as maybe a hobby or something that they're taking too far, or maybe it's just something that the Lord... As humans, let me back up a little bit, and I'm just going to give my account of what I have felt. You know, if we're not careful, we can allow the devil to come in, and just like he did with Eve and Adam, and make it seem like Jesus is trying to just deprive me. Well, he doesn't want you to have that because he doesn't want you to have any fun. He doesn't want you to feel. He doesn't want you to enjoy yourself. He doesn't want you to, you name it. The enemy will come in and start questioning. He loves to plant those little doubts and those thoughts of, oh, Lord, why are you asking me to do this? It doesn't even make sense. That's not wrong. That's, show me chapter verse where this is wrong, Lord. You can get in that trap too. Of Lord, I don't find it. I can't find it anywhere in here. This isn't wrong. Why are you asking me to give this up? I don't think I really need to. It's not a sin. It's not in your word that I can't do this or I can't. Whatever. It's easy to fall in that trap where we allow the enemy to start just sowing doubt, sowing concern, sowing mistrust. And the Lord, that the Lord doesn't have my best interest in mind. And so the Lord has continued to deal with me and work with me on this. And I felt very strongly that he had me bring this to you. The scripture, let me back up a little bit more. It's probably over a year ago now that the Lord had given me a study or a message that I brought here that said, cut it off. And so the similar, from the same passage, the Lord, when I was studying this and talking to him about this and asking him for guidance, he gave me this scripture about the man, just talking about if we have a foot that offends you, cut it off. If you have a hand that offends you, to cut it off. You have an eye that offends you, to pluck it out. And not only did it say, and some translations say gouge it out. So literally, Lord, whatever I got to do to get this thing to go away. And it said, and then it says, and cast it from thee. Don't gouge it out and sit there and hold it and look at it and say, boy, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I really like this thing. I don't want to get rid of it. No, it said, cast it out. Get rid of it. Don't have anything to do with it. Last week, we talked about how the Psalm 18, where it talked about chasing the enemy down to the point where you get them down on the ground, and then you don't just let them walk away. It said he destroyed them till they were like dust, and he threw them into the street like the dust that they were. That is the idea that the Lord has for us. Whenever he points something out to me, to us, say, hey, this is hindering you. This has got too much of your heart. I want you, if you're not careful, it's better that you go through life halt, blind in one eye, not able to pick up something, but make it to heaven. Like Brother Rod has mentioned several times, go sweeping through the gates with confidence, with joy. It's much better that I go through life without that thing that I thought was so precious than to worry about that eye that I had to gouge out, or that thing that I had to leave behind. And said the scripture says, gouge it out, pluck it out, and cast it from me. Get it away from you, and you get away from it. And the other thing that the Lord had encouraged me with is in Matthew 10, verse 38. It's where he said, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He never promised that everything, well, there's a song, a very popular song, that said he never promised that the path would not get hard. He never promised that it wouldn't be difficult. He never promised that we wouldn't have trouble. He never promised that he wouldn't ask for some things. To lay aside, what the scripture says, to lay aside every weight and every sin that does beset you. Everything, it says weight and sin. It says the weights. I look at the weights as the things that maybe it's not wrong in itself, but it's hindering me running for Christ. It's hindering me. What is that thing that am I holding on to? What is that thing that I have that has got too much of my heart? Because there's another part of another verse, I didn't look it up, that says for us to try the spirits. There's things that we can do, get involved with, that bring in spirits that we don't realize the roots of those spirits until sometimes something comes up or comes out of us and we realize, where did that come from? What is it that's in my life? How is there something that has my heart so much that came out of me? Or that thought was there, and I had to fight and wrestle to get that thought away. Where did that thought come from? Well, it's because there's something. Many times it's because I've allowed something to have too much of my heart that is taking root and taking a spot in my heart that belongs to the Lord. And he's asking us, he tells us to take up your cross. I look at, if anyone was qualified to tell me to do some hard things, I believe it was Jesus. Jesus is more than qualified to ask me to do something difficult. And when I think of look, I'm telling you, what I was having to give up and do is difficult. It doesn't even compare to what some of the martyrs have had to go through. In fact, if I get to heaven and talk to them, can ask, I don't know how that's all going to work, but we have a conversation, and they say, well, what? Nobody's going to be sad, don't get me wrong, but if you could have this conversation, well, you know, I had to get my hand cut off, and all these things happened to me. They burned me at the stake. Before they did that, they flayed half my flesh off, and but you know what? I'm here. And then here I am saying, well, I had a trial too. I really had it tough. The Lord asked me to give this up. And I can only imagine someone look like, well, poor you. That's all he asked you to do? And the Lord has brought that to my mind multiple times. It's not that much. maybe it's big to us at the time. I know that. I understand that. But our heart has to be turned completely to the Lord. One of the tricks of the enemy that he's pulled on me multiple times is that it's too hard, or he's going to ask for too much, or there's going to be, you know, you can't give that up. It's too inconvenient. It's not only going to inconvenience you, it's going to inconvenience everybody else. And, you know, what are you going to do when you say, oh, I can't go there, or I can't. The devil loves to put those scenarios in front of you, saying, well, now you're just going to have this list of things you can and can't do, and everybody's going to think you're a goody two-shoes. Don't worry about that. Who cares? He's going to make it feel like it's too big, too much to carry. But I'm going to tell you later on, in my Bible, it's just the next page over. I read chapter 11 of Matthew. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And this is the part he says, take my yoke upon you. He does have a yoke for us to wear. And from what I can see of a yoke, I've never seen one that looked comfortable. But he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest in your souls, unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So while it may seem big, from the outside looking in, our flesh is gonna recoil at when God says, "Hey, this thing that you're dealing with right now, let me tell you how this went with me. I know I keep going back to my experience. I had some other things going on in my life that I was praying, asking the Lord for victory on. Saying, Lord, I need help. I'm having trouble with this, and I'm still struggling. I need you to help me. Give me power. Give me strength. And he put his finger on something that seemed wholly unrelated. And he said, I need you to do something about that. And, of course, my human mind is, oh, well, okay, Lord, but that's not what I was praying for. I need help with this. I need help with these things that I'm dealing with. I need help with this issue. I need you to help me get victory over these things that I've been struggling with. That I want you to, you know, this is what I need help with. And he continually kept saying, I want you to stop doing this. And I kept, you know, well, that, okay, Lord, okay, but I need help with this. Well, finally, I started getting the picture. And started trying to give up this that he had pointed out. And guess what I found out? It had a lot more of my heart than I thought it did. The thing that he pointed to in my life has said, I want you to give this up. I want you to put that aside. I want you to... He told me it had... Well, when I started trying to say, okay, Lord, that's fine, I'll give it up. I realized then how big of a part of my heart and my mind and everything it was taking up. I realized how much effort it was taking to do something about it, and I was ashamed at how much that thing had my heart, and it was scary. And the Lord is still having to work with me and help me to let go of the things, the weights that he warned us about. Put aside the weights, the things that are holding you back, the things that are keeping you from running for the Lord. Put those aside. And he's still helping me to do that, because it's not necessarily the fun thing to do. But what I will say is the blessing that comes from realizing that you are making progress and making steps to fill that place, that void. Because then what happens when he asks us to give something up that's taken a part of our heart, when we do that for the right reasons, and we truly are giving it up for him and not just by sheer willpower, because some people can do that too. Say, all right, well, fine, I'm giving it up. And I'm cold turkey, I'm not going. We got to be careful, because that's not going to have the effect we think it's going to have. But when we truly are giving it up and saying, Lord, you can have it. I'm gouging this thing out. I'm casting it from me. The place it was holding in our heart will be filled up with the Spirit. We'll be filled with Christ. The scripture, I don't remember where it's at. I think it might be in Luke, where he said, no man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. I was thinking of that many times too, of Lord, help me that once I start plowing this row, start trying to put these things to the side, that I don't keep looking back to and wishing for the things that I've let go of. Because I was mentioning a little bit ago, if we give it up for the wrong reason, say, all right, Lord, I'm going to give it up, but here, but then I keep looking back at it every chance I get. Say, Lord, I really didn't want to give that up. I really didn't want to turn that loose. I really didn't want to move on from that. We're going to keep struggling. We have to learn how, and y'all pray for me, because this, trust me, I'm still, the Lord is working with me. We have to learn how to let it completely go. Don't turn back from the plow and look back at what we've accomplished, of what we've let go of, and thinking, well, I wish I could have that back, but I guess I'm going to keep going. No, cast it from me. Get rid of it and let God put it wherever He puts those things. And don't try to find it again. Because that is also a trap of the enemy. Is, well, you gave it up and you've been doing really good for a while, so it's probably no problem in you going and grabbing it again. Because now you probably won't have that problem anymore because you got victory. Well, that's a trick. That's a trap of the enemy. He wants you to turn back from the plow. Just like Jesus said, I think it's the one where he says, no one turning back from the plow is fit for the kingdom. It's not going to work. You can't keep turning back and trying to go back to what you had before. I want to counter. When Jesus gave the rich young ruler the guidance, he gave him a list of commandments, like I said, that were obvious moral wrongs. But in another account, someone asked him the first commandment. And this one, I've touched on it several times recently. This one, if we do this, I've realized over and over, if we can truly uphold this commandment, we will have the Lord. We can answer this with, the Lord has my heart. Because if we keep this commandment, it says, you shall love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and with all of thy soul, and with all of thy mind, and with all of thy strength. And that is the intent. That is what the Lord wants from us. It's not saying that we can't have things to relax us. It's not. He's not expecting us to just walk around with the Bible like this all day long, every day, because I can't have anything else in my life that I enjoy, so I've got to have. No, that's not what he's intending. There's nothing wrong with having some enjoyments, having some hobbies, but when the Lord puts his hand on it and says, that's taking up some space that's mine. I need you to move that away. I need that to go. Lord, help us that he will have all of my heart, and I will serve him with all of my mind and all of my strength. That will solve a lot of our concerns with the hows, whats, lists. You know, it's easy. I'll say this. The lazy, easy way out is give me a list of things that I have to do and don't do. Give me a list of I can do this, I can't do that. Give me a list of I can wear that, I can't wear this. That's long, this is short. Give me a list. Tell me what's not, and I'll do it. That's the easy way out. Serve the Lord thy God. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Seek the Lord. The rich young ruler, he had that list. The Lord gave him a list. He's like, I've kept that one. He had a list. He had a laundry list of things he was keeping. But he was missing the intent that that's great that you haven't been doing those things. It's great that you've kept the moral commandments. It's great that you did that. But y'all, we have to be careful too that our salvation, that a list doesn't have too much of my heart. Because that can happen too. That a list of rights and wrongs can have my heart. And when I say, I put the air quotes, because we can end up worshiping I look at it like there's some pagan religions that worship the sun and the moon and all the things, which they are amazing, great things, but they're worshiping something that was created by the Creator instead of the Creator himself. And I hope y'all can understand where I'm going with that, is that we have to be careful that the very thing that is a source, that is a symptom of true worship and following Christ, that we don't worship the symptom of what it is to be a Christian instead of worshiping the one that causes the what creates those symptoms. If I'm a Christian, there's going to be signs that I'm a Christian. But if I worship the symptoms and the signs of being a Christian, I'm missing it. That can take up too much of my heart that I'm going to be a Christian, so I have to do this, 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 and this, and this. No. The first part is serving the Lord with all your heart. Loving Him with all of your heart, your soul, mind, and strength. And I will just say that's a trick of the enemy for us to that we can fall into, is that we fall too, and there's a fine line there, and I want you all to understand that. I'm not saying at all that the personal stand, that's really important. But we have to put them in their proper place. I can't worship my personal standards. I can't make that my source of who I am, of what my Christianity is. I can't make that be my source. Jesus has to be that. The Jesus Christ, the Savior, the one who conquered death, sin, and the grave, and came back and gave me this ability to, he sent the Comforter, and now I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me. I need to worship that, the source of those things, the one who provides the ability to live that way, that those symptoms do come out. The symptoms of how I look, how I dress, how I talk, where I go, where I don't go, instead of worshiping the symptoms of a Christian. I hope that makes sense. I hope that rings true with you. I want, it's a burden on my heart that we truly follow the Lord and find, where am I, Lord? Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Help me to understand, where do I stand with you? Where do I stand with some of these things that I've been taught my whole life? Lord, have I been doing this simply because, you know, do I understand? Lord, help me to understand. Help me understand your doctrines. Help me, Lord, help me study the word and seek his guidance. So we're not, I can tell you, if someone asks you on the street of why you do something and you don't have a good answer, and you don't have a solid answer of why you personally do it, They see right through that. We have to be able to show that who or what is in our heart, because if it's just, they will see really quickly if what I'm doing, if it's just in my heart because it's in my heart, because I think it's the, you see where I'm going with that? We have to be careful that when it has to be there because Jesus put it there. That Jesus put it there. That, and I'm not saying at all either that we should back off from things that we have known in our life. No. Everything I've ever understood and been told, keep going straight. Do what you've been taught, what you know, but seek the Lord for understanding. Lord, help me to know. Help me to understand, why do I do what I do? I want you to have full reign of my heart. I want you to be the reason that I live this way. I don't want my self-will, my stubbornness, my ability to do what I want to do, because some people have a really strong will and able to look the look, act the part, and not have a heart full of Christ. Lord, help me that I'm not just simply putting on a showy garment to say, look, I'm a Christian. It's a challenge to me. It's a real challenge. The Lord has been challenging me that it's a deeply rooted thing. The scripture bears out that what's in the man is what comes out. That's what comes flowing out. Out of our bellies will flow living water. If we truly are the temple of God. Now, the other thing that has always comforted me is you look back through I'm almost done. You look back through the scriptures, and pretty much, if not every time that I found, any time he asked either the Israelites or anyone to do something really hard, guess what he almost always followed it up with? I will be with you. Fear not. Be of good courage. Don't be afraid. One of my favorite scriptures, if you can have a favorite scripture, I don't know if you can or not, but one of my favorites is in Isaiah 41:13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. And it goes on, verse 14. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. And then in the New Testament, before Jesus left, and he told his disciples to go do some really hard stuff, what did he say? He said, I will be with you to the end of the world. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Don't get scared. It might be scary, but don't worry. I'll be with you to the end of the world. And then he also said, I think it was in John maybe, where he said, look, I'm going away, but I'm not leaving you comfortless. Someone's coming. I got to go away, but I'm sending my spirit right back. And guess what? He gets to live right here. And we get to commune daily, moment by moment. And that is where we get that fullness of Jesus being in my heart, in my life. And I'm able to live that out in front of my fellow man, my family, the congregation. Y'all pray for me. I'm challenged. The Lord has challenged me recently. And I want to do better. I want, anytime I find a piece of my heart that is taken up by something that is stealing from the Lord, that's taken up space that is meant for Him, I want to be able to willingly, gladly, and urgently dig it up, gouge it out, burn it, whatever I have to do to get it out. That's what I want to do. Y'all pray for me, because I need y'all's prayers. And I'll be praying for you. I want us to do this. I want us to go all the way together. And I want us all to be together. That song that says, I want us to be together in heaven one day. I wanted to read a little bit of a song. It's kind of my testimony. I heard this today. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now and ever is my plea. Oh, the chains are released, I can sing, I am free. Yet, not I, but Christ, but through Christ in me. With every breath, I long to follow Jesus, for he has said that I will bring me home, that he will bring me home. And day by day, I know he will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Y'all pray for me. I thank the Lord that I have been able to live this way, and that even when he puts his finger on things to say, hey child, there's still more. There's still more land. There's still more of your heart I need. That he's there to help us. That he's there to give strength. And sometimes it may be drastic. Sometimes it may just be something small. But Lord, help us that we'd be willing. Y'all pray for me.